Welcome into the Poetry Tavern, a place to discuss both reading and writing poetry, spotlighting new poems and ideas every week. Hello all, and welcome into another episode of the Poetry Tavern. I'm your host, as always, Charlotte, and this week's episode is an interview with Mark Spencer-Turner, who is a Edinburgh-based poet and translator. I won't waffle on too much more, and let's just dive right in. Okay, perfect. Welcome, Mark. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You are our first ever guest, so I really appreciate. Yeah. This is the first one we've done of these, so I really appreciate you signing up at the beginning stages.
I had no idea. So ends my reaction, but thank you very much for asking me. What a great honor.
Yeah, no problem. Why don't we just start? You tell us a little bit about yourself, what it is you do, just to kick us off.
Okay, well, my name's Mark Spencer-Turner. I'm originally from York in England, but I'm based now in Edinburgh, where I've been for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I'm primarily known as a poet, although part of my work includes editorial. I'm the Gaelic editor for the periodical Northwoods Now, which we publish twice a year. I'm also a translator, and I am a singer-songwriter as well. So I'm a busy guy. I publish in various languages. I publish in Gaelic, Scottish Gaelic, or Gaelic, as we refer to it up here, as Marcus Machantuniad. I publish in English as Mark Spencer-Turner. And I also write in Polari, which LGBTQ readers will probably know about as the cryptolect that was used in the 20th century with queer communities. So, yeah, that's a little bit about what I do.
Yeah, I know of Polari, but I don't actually have an understanding of, like, how to read it. So when I saw that, I was like, this feels like a thing that's so far... I mean, it really is just part of the history at this point, which is unfortunate because it is, like, such a important aspect. But, yeah, so thank you for keeping it alive.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating thing. I mean... emancipation and equality has been amazing for our community, but it has meant that, you know, we've lost a lot of queer spaces and we no longer need a specific form of language to communicate with each other in that way. You know, now we can be, to a certain extent, not fully, out in the open. You know, we don't need it. So that's, the reasons are positive, but it still is an aspect of culture that is being lost because of that. Yeah.
Well, okay, let's just start with maybe not a simple question, but let's start with, what is it that made you start writing poetry?
I loved it. I mean, there's a few ways I came to it, actually. My mum read English at the University of Dundee, and so she would just talk to me about literature all the time, actually, when I was growing up. And when it comes to Scottish literature in particular, she had a pamphlet of Liz Lochhead's, the first one, I think, who she'd seen read at university, and she used to read about it and tell me about it. She used to rehash novels like the Brontes because of the Yorkshire connection and tell me all the stories that were in them, you know, without actually reading them to me. You know, when the... So poetry was always part of what was going on. She loved Keats as well, St. Agnes Eve. I remember encountering that poem at a very early age. And then when I went to school, I was very fortunate that I had some teachers, even at primary school, that loved poetry. And we were encouraged to write it. And actually, you know, at a point where I was really, really bad at PE and I was really bad at maths and I wasn't very scientific, to have a piece of writing that I'd made, some poetry read out in class, and the teacher said, this is really good, this is what you can do with language, was really affirmative for me. So it's got very positive associations going right back into my childhood. And then ever since, it's been like, it's been a place of solace for me, it's been a place of expression for me, and just a way to encounter other cultures as well.
Yeah, I think part of the, like, part of the journey of this podcast is trying to get people to see poetry as not just those big, old, really long poems with the complicated language, but to just be a form of expression as well. So I think it's really important that there are people out there who are encouraging it in kids. I'm sort of similar, where I'm like, I fell in love with poetry at a young age and had teachers who supported it and had family. So I'm absolutely in that boat with you of like, the early memory really forms the love of it. You also do songwriting, and I saw a thing on your website about it saying that a good poem should be able to be put to music or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Is that the transition from poetry into music that you went through, of just putting the words from your poems into music, or was it something more complicated than that?
Well, the quote that you come from, that you've come across there, actually, it's, I don't know if it's a direct quote, but it's definitely, you know, a part of Scottish Gaelic culture here in Scotland, and the belief, like, that traditionally speaking, you know, going back through its history, that poetry was originally written to be sung. There wasn't really a tradition of kind of getting up there and reciting as there was in the Anglophone tradition. You know, the link between poetry and music is kind of indelible. And there is that kind of, we have what we call Barstock Ballad in the Scottish Gaelic tradition, which is a metered form. And I think that, you know, still within that community, you know, the true poetry is poetry that has meter in it, whereas free verse doesn't necessarily feel as authentic sometimes to some readers in that language. I'm making extremely generalized comments.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so that's where that comes from. But for me, I mean, not Scottish by birth, but I'm from an Irish diaspora background, so I was very much brought up with a lot of music around me, singing, learning to play the violin, singing in choirs and all of that. I think whilst I did write poetry as a young person, I wrote a lot of songs as well. And I think that with my own work, that musicality and that sense of line and rhythm is something that readers do pick up in my work, because it's just part of how I am and how the arts came to me and kind of came alive in me when I was growing up.
Yeah, that sounds like a really like lovely, I think one of the things I've experienced a lot with poetry is that sense of rhythm, like finding the beats within it, and that's like weirdly something I don't think about when I write, but I do come across in poetry. So it's very interesting. Okay, I have been thinking about this question since I started typing it. When you write a poem, you probably have like a certain connection to it. Do you think there is a separation between the poems you like the best and the poems people who read your poetry like the best?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I mean, because obviously you don't live in the head of the people.
Yeah.
Who read your work, so you can, in some ways you can never really know. And it's difficult to say, oh, the poetry that I like the best, when there's so much and always has been so much. It's something that changes on a weekly basis in terms of, you know, the work that I'm engaging with. I mean, you asked me to choose a poem, my favorite poem. So I chose my favorite poem today. I chose a poem that has always connected with me and that I think is interesting. And it's just,
but it changes on a regular enough basis.
I would say so. And I think that poetry, well, it's that connection with music as well. Like songs in particular, you know, they very much signpost different parts of your life. Like the music that we listen to is the soundtrack to our lives, and a song can take you back to a particular emotion or a particular place or life event or relationship or whatever. And I think that poetry can have the power to do that. A particularly evocative piece will always remind you of where you were and what you were feeling in that time. And hopefully if it's a good piece and it, you know, it resonates with you, it's a piece that has challenged you to think differently or chimed with your personal experience in a particular way, you know what I mean? So I think it's a highly personal thing, isn't it, how we read it often.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've sat in many English classes in my life and someone will say how they've read it and I'm gone, interesting. That's like very different to how I view it. But
Yeah.
one of the joys of talking about poetry is the different experiences that you hear from other people.
Yeah, I think it's because it's an active form of literature. You know, with a novel or other forms of prose, you're very much signposted through and almost told what to think and how to feel about what the writer has done. You know what I mean? Whereas poetry is, because it's so short and condensed, there's so much packed in. It's open to I think it's more open to interpretation,
Yeah,
which
absolutely.
means that the reader is a more active participant in the literature than in other forms.
Okay, well, speaking about the poem I asked you to bring today,
Okay.
would you like to talk to us about it, read it?
Yeah, I was just thinking about those formative experiences of poetry as well. And when I was at university studying modern languages, specifically Scottish, Gaelic, and Spanish, the modules that I always enjoyed, I mean, and I do love history, but it was the literature modules that I always enjoyed much and as mostly. And I would say that in terms of the module that had most impact on me on my life going forward was one on contemporary Gaelic poetry, as was 20th century at the time, because I'm getting on a bit, with Professor Michelle MacLeod, who introduced me to all kind of Gaelic writers from across Scotland, Hebrideans, Highlanders, people from the urban centres as well, who are all working in the language there and then. And some of them still are. So the one that I've chosen is from Anna Freighter, who's from the Isle of Lewis, right up there in the northwest. And she's somebody that then went on to teach me at a Gaelic summer school in the Isle of Lewis when I was coming to fluency in the language. So it
Oh,
for me, it was
great.
very much one of those when you meet your hero moments. And I was terrified, but of course, she's absolutely lovely. But this poem, it's just really, really short, but I'm going to read it. I wanted to read something in both languages, so I'm going to.
Yeah, do it.
And it's called Urn Fork. Tí fím a bhean an urn fóc ag am diolch chi, ach brislach a gúscaig agus arachas nach dy reinniu sin na chiadlá na dy rannig miw. One kiss. What use was one kiss at the time of parting, except to wake confusion and regret that you didn't do that on the first day when I reached you.
That's
That's it.
awesome. That's
It's just so
awesome.
short, but it's got such rhythm and just it's the thing about Anne's poetry is it's just so succinct. She doesn't muck about at all in either language. But yeah, in a few short lines, she's managed to write something that is so universal. And I don't think there's anybody that hasn't been through that experience, you know?
Just and
Yeah.
like as soon as you finished the English translation, I was like, okay, well, I've been struck by something. I don't
Yeah.
know what it is, but like there is something at the core of that. Thank you so much. That was great.
Oh.
Okay, this is a bit of a shorter interview, but that's fine. Do you have anything to plug coming up?
Oh, do I have anything to plug? Well, at the moment, I'm focusing. I've got a few things. So I'm going to be in London at the beginning of September at Scotland House. I'm promoting an anthology that I edited called Stratach an Sinéamh, which brings together poets like Anne and myself, the Gaelic poets who kind of came to the fore around the turn of the millennium. So yes, myself and Sandy Donaldson Jones, rather, are going to be there at Scotland House, which is a great honour to read there. And I'm also set to release a new single called Oirirneach Guirirneach,
Oh,
which will get its
nice.
first play on BBC Regin and Gael on the 20th of August, and then it's released across all platforms on the 28th of August. So if the podcast comes out before then, that'll be fantastic,
It
and everybody will know.
does, yeah. This is
Yeah.
set at the end of July, start of August, so all of them will perfectly be in time.
Great.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you so much.
No, that's all right. Thank you for having me. And if people are interested in my work, they can check it out on markasmark.scott.
Yeah, cool. Perfect.
Okay, well, that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you all for coming into the tavern today. I really appreciate it. We've got another interview next week with Ross Wilcock. So please come and come and join me for that. It was a really good one. It's already been recorded, so it's a good interview. But hope to see you there next week. Bye.